Today's reading comes from Samuel 2, chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, 12b through 19. David brings the ark to Jerusalem. David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. David and all the people with him set out and went from Baluja to bring up there the ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who was enthroned on the cherubim. They carried the ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahoah, the sons of Abinadab, were driving the new cart with the ark of God, and Ahio went in front of the ark. David and all the house of Israel were dancing before the Lord with all their might, with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. It was told King David, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who bore the ark of the Lord had gone six paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatted calf. David danced before the Lord with all his might. David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. As the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. They brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place, inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and offerings of well-being before the Lord. When David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the offerings of well-being, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts and distributed food among all the people. The whole multitude of Israel, both men and women, to each a cake of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. Then all the people went back to their homes. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Christina. Doing that on short notice, there were at least like six names I had to look up. I have a app, you know, Bible pronunciations, name pronunciation. I mean, they did a great job. I might refer to some of them and call them a little differently, but doesn't matter.
That's what she did. She knew any of the pronunciations. She was saving
anything. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for bringing us to your house to meet in your presence and to be uplifted as we sing and praise you in worship, as we receive forgiveness of sins, as we listen to your word and seek guidance for our lives from Holy Scripture. May you bless all of us who are here, those who might be watching online, but please let your spirit open our hearts and our minds to receive your word this morning. We pray this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let me ask you, have you ever had a problem with storing all of your stuff? You'd think we won't have a problem storing our stuff, right? Because over the past 50 years, the average size of the American home has actually tripled. And many homes these days have two-car garages. But how many of us who might have two-car garages can actually park two cars in the garage? So it's no surprise that 1 out of 10 Americans rent off-site storage. And why there are now more than 50,000 storage facilities in America. And then inevitably we have the need to move the stuff that's in the storage space. So how can we do that? Well, how can we move our stuff? You can use your own car and truck, of course. You can rent a U-Haul and do it yourself. You can ship your stuff somewhere. When we moved to the United States way, way back in 1994, we shipped some of our stuff from South Africa in a container. And then we rented a U-Haul truck to pick up the container at JFK Cargo, except the container didn't fit into the truck. And contrary to the company rules, the guy was nice enough to break open the crate, the container for us. And so we were able to load just the boxes into the U-Haul. So you can move stuff yourself. When we moved to Minnesink Valley from Ridgewood in 2008, we rented a big truck. And I did 2.5 trips. And we moved ourselves. And I almost died. Okay? And there and then I decided I will never, ever do that again. Because you don't have to do it yourself. I mean, we all know about moving companies, right? And a moving company, thank goodness, moved us from there to here in Douglaston, thanks to Community Church. Now, there are also now companies like Closet Box and Clutter who give you the option to outsource your storage needs. It's different from the self-storage model because these companies will pick up your stuff, take it away, and bring it back when you need it. So there's all these different ways to move your belongings, your stuff. King David in the Bible had a storage problem. The storage problem was that the Philistines had the Ark of the Covenant in their possession, something which rightly belonged to Israel. And he had a moving problem as well because he had some stuff, some really holy stuff to move. He had to move the Ark from the control of the Philistines to his new Jezebel capital of Jerusalem. And David and his people had one job to do, to move the ark, and they messed it up completely. Because you don't move God in an ox cart. So before we continue, I need to give you just a little background on the ark, because what is the ark? When we hear the word ark, we normally think of Noah's ark. And that's an ark, you know, that's really a big boat, but that's not the ark in this passage, okay? What we have here is the Ark of the Covenant. On the screen, there's a picture of what it must have looked like according to the description in Exodus chapter 25. It was almost 4 feet long and just over 2 feet high. It was covered by a lid of solid, pure gold, and on top of the lid were two winged creatures of pure gold. And it was basically home to the presence of and the glory of God, because it contained the two stone tablets of the Ten Commandments, the rod of Aaron, as well as a golden pot of manna. And the instructions for transporting this ark were very specific. They had to cover it in a certain way with skins and a blue cloth. It was virtually concealed as it was moved from one location to another as they wandered in the desert for 40 years before reaching the Jordan River under Joshua's leadership. The transportation people entrusted with the job of moving God's presence in the ark were the Levites, specifically the priestly class. They were the ones responsible for carrying it. And so there's nothing in there about putting the ark on a cart, an ox cart. Now, the ark also had a history. Okay? It was linked to a number of miracles. The presence of the ark was associated with military success. It became a sort of a military mascot. For instance, the Israelites went out to fight the Philistines. But the Philistines defeated the Israelites and killed about 4,000 of them. And the Israelites concluded, well, that their loss was due to the absence of the ark. And it says in 1 Samuel, the Israelite army returned to their camp, and the leader said, "Why did the Lord let us lose to the Philistines today? Let's get the sacred chest where the Lord's agreement with Israel is kept. Then the Lord will help us and rescue us from our enemies." So they brought the ark to the battle, but to no avail. Because even though the Philistines were afraid of the presence of Israel's sacred relic, they rallied, they fought hard, and they soundly defeated the Israelites. And in the process, they killed about 30,000 Israelite soldiers. And they also captured the ark, the sacred chest. And they took it with them. And many years later, Samuel became the leader of Israel. And after him came their first king by the name of Saul. And Saul was followed by David. And when David was anointed king, the Philistines went hunting for him. And David met them, and the armies of Israel this time defeated the Philistines without the ark. And that kind of brings us to our scripture passage for today. Because David then gathered 30,000 men to retrieve the ark of the covenant from the Philistines and bring it back to Jerusalem. The ark, which had been captured by the Philistines, was about to return to its true home, like a trophy being returned to the city in which it belonged. And so David put it in a new cart, and the procession began with music, dancing to go with it. But then the cart hit a pothole or something, and Uzzah, who was walking beside the cart, reached out to steady the ark. And God struck him dead because he had dared to touch the ark of the covenant. And this was a definite buzzkill, and the ark went no further. It made David afraid of the Lord, and he decided, well, not to bring the ark of the Lord into the city of Jerusalem. Instead, he placed it in the hands of a certain guy with the name of Obed-Edom. And there it stayed for 3 months. And it says that this family was blessed because of its presence. And so when David saw how God blessed Obed-Edom, he decides to move God again. And this time, he does it right. So David and all the people of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts of joy and the blowing of ram's horns. It says they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the special tent David had prepared for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord. Okay, so how do we move God? I guess the lighthearted answer would be very, very carefully. But on a more serious note, what can we really learn from the story? I mean, is there anything to learn here? I mean, how is this relevant to our lives today? How does this apply to us? Does it even apply to us? So let me share, you know, some thoughts with you. First of all, we want God's presence with us as we journey through life. I think we all want God's presence with us. When David became king, he moved his capital to Jerusalem. And he wanted to move God, or at least the ark, the visible reminder of God's presence and his agreement with his people. He wanted to have God where he was. The presence of the Ark of the Covenant in Jerusalem was significant, both ceremonially and symbolically. To have it in Jerusalem was very important for the Israelites. But let me ask you, do you want God to be with you in your life? Do you want God to go with you? And I think we all do. As people of faith, we invite God into our decisions. We don't make any big decisions without praying for God's wisdom and for God's guidance. We're hesitant to make huge changes in our lives without feeling we have God's blessing. We want to be in the will of God. And so David's desire to have the ark moved to Jerusalem was a good one. And our prayers and our hope that God will be with us through all of the events of our lives is also a good one. I don't think we want to be without God in this life. Can you imagine what that must be like, to be without God? And God does not want you to be alone either. He wants you to be part of his life, and he wants you to him to be part of your life. He wants to be present in your highs, and he wants to be present in your lows. And his presence is always with those who believe in him and his son Jesus Christ. So we want God's presence as we journey through life. The second lesson I think we can learn from this story about moving the ark is that we need to follow Scripture. We need to pay attention to what God's word is actually saying. Because what did David learn here? He quickly learned that there's a right way and there's a wrong way of doing things. Wrong way, put the Ark of the Covenant on an ox cart and have someone touch it. Right way, let the Levite priests carry it and don't touch it. Because this was actually in God's word, but somehow David missed it. He missed the instructions. It says, the camp will be ready to move when Aaron and his sons have finished covering the sanctuary and all the sacred articles. The Kohathites, which was a division of the Levites, will come and carry these things to the next destination, but they must not touch the sacred objects or they will die. So we need to know what God's word says and how it applies to our lives. And we need to pay attention to it. We need to obey his instructions for our lives. Because that's where the blessing lies. When you follow God's word, when you're obedient to what he tells you to do. This is the secret to a blessed life. For Christians, the Bible is our authoritative source of how to live godly lives. And we shouldn't neglect God's word and the impact of God's word on our lives. So invite God's presence into your life and follow Scripture. Another lesson we learn here is that we should not give up. That's a lesson here. Don't give up. Don't simply give up. Because David's first plan failed miserably. But that was not the end of the story. He was not the kind of guy who gave up. Failure to him was simply a step on the path to ultimate success. Now, I think we all fail at something. But what if failure is not the end, but just the beginning of something new? Whenever you fail at something, you have a chance to go back to square one. You have the opportunity to do something entirely different, the chance to tweak your first effort, the option to try something different until you get it right. So don't simply give up. The blessing might be just around the corner. And finally, we really don't need to move God. We need to let God move us. Because you see, our tendency is to put God in a little box. We kind of put him in storage when it comes to our lives. And we'd like to move him. And so we limit his presence in our lives. And when it's convenient, we call upon him. And we actually decide what he is capable of doing. But what we really need is to have the frame of mind in which we are willing to let God move us. Aristotle said, God is the unmoved mover. God is the prime mover. God has never been moved. It is God who does the moving. And so what we need to be is to be willing for God to move us when and how God wants to move us. Not to try and move God, because here's what we do. God, I want you to do this, and I want you to do that. And God, I know where I need to go and what I have to do, and what I want is for you to bless that. God, I know what is best, and you need to fit into my plan. God, I want to be in charge of my life and you are just a second thought. No, we need to allow God to move us where he wants us to go, who he wants us to be, where he wants us to serve, how he wants us to grow in our faith. Allow his spirit to move our hearts and minds and our actions. We shouldn't try to move God. We need to make sure that we are moving with God. So we want God's presence with us. We need to follow his word. Don't give up easily. And don't try to move God. Allow God to move you. And may the Holy Spirit open our hearts and our lives for God to move us in a profound way. Amen. Let us pray. Merciful God, we thank you for your word. May your word continually guide us. May we take it seriously and seek your wisdom. Thank you for your presence in our lives, God. We want your presence. We want to be in your will. We want you to bless where we go and what we do and what we decide and the changes we make. But to do that, we need to allow you to show us the way. Allow you to move us where you really want us to be, not the other way around. And thank you that through your Spirit, you will also encourage us and enable us not to give up too easily, but to persevere. Because you are the God of second chances, and in the end, you will show us where we need to be and bless us for that reason. And so we thank you and we praise you in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.